This is The Doctor Is In, your bi-weekly podcast that discusses all things technical and not so technical. The Doctor Is In podcast is produced by ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and sponsored by DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe. See their website at www.dxengineering.com.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and welcome to the Doctor Is In podcast. For this episode, I'd like to take on a topic that has almost a cult-like status in amateur radio, and by that I mean it's an object of worship, and I'm talking about SWR, standing wave ratio. We measure it constantly. There are meters in our stations, there are meters in our radios. We're obsessed with it. If our meters give us the wrong readings, we become concerned, we're upset. Why do we value SWR so highly? What does it really mean? Well, let's get one thing out of the way right away. SWR does not mean the ratio of forward to reflected power. Back many years ago, I remember receiving a very technical definition of SWR, and it went something like this. The professors used to tell me, SWR is defined as the ratio of a partial standing wave's amplitude at an antinode, or maximum, to the amplitude at the node, minimum, along a transmission line. Whew. Okay, it's expressed mathematically with some, what for me at least, were reasonably intense equations. You can make it a little simpler by saying that SWR is usually thought of in terms of the maximum and minimum AC voltages along a transmission line, the ratio of those. But just keep in mind that it is not a ratio of forward to reflected power. Let's back up. Let's back way, way back and try to simplify this into something that we can all get our heads around. One of my favorite analogies for understanding what SWR is, really, is to first understand what a standing wave is. That's fundamental. Now, use your imaginations for a moment and think of a kiddie pool. You know, the kind you inflate and put in your backyard and put a few inches of water in it for your children to play in on a hot summer day? All right. Imagine that kiddie pool. Imagine it full of water. And imagine a motor sitting right in the middle of it. A motor whose only purpose is to agitate the water a little bit. Just sit there and vibrate. Now, imagine you turn the motor on. What happens? Well, of course, the motor vibrates and it sends waves radiating out from the center of the kiddie pool. And those waves race toward the edges of the pool and they reach the edges and they bounce back toward the center, as they'll do. But on their way back, they run into the waves that are still being generated by the motor at the center. Well, what happens? Well, these waves combine in such a way that they amplify or they subtract from each other. The result is an unusual pattern on the surface of the water. It looks as though there are waves that are kind of frozen or moving only slightly. And yes, those are standing waves. They're the result of the waves going out, interacting with the waves coming back from the edges of the kiddie pool. Okay, so how does this apply to an amateur radio station? Think of this. Your transceiver is like the motor in the center of that kiddie pool. And it dumps its power into the transmission line. Okay, the transmitter is vibrating, if you will. The energy dumped into the transmission line races along the line out to your antenna. And think of your antenna as being the edge of the kiddie pool. When it reaches the antenna, hopefully quite a bit of it is radiated. Some of it is not because of impedance mismatches at the antenna, which we'll get into in a moment. And so, some of that power comes racing back down the transmission line to the transmitter. That is your reflected power. It is reflected from the load. It's reflected from the antenna. And once again, the reflected power coming back mixes, if you will, adds and subtracts with the incident wave, as they like to call it, the energy from the transmitter, and it creates standing waves. Now, that ratio is normally expressed as, say, 1.5 to 1, 2 to 1, 3 to 1, 4 to 1, and so on. The greater the mismatch between the antenna and the transmission line, the greater the SWR, to a point. There are some other factors, such as where you're actually measuring it and so on, but again, for the sake of a simplified discussion, let's go with that for now. Now, the overriding question is, why is this important? Why do we care so much about the SWR, that standing wave ratio on the transmission line, at least as it is measured there at your transceiver in your station?
Our fellow hams have told us how much they love receiving the DX Engineering Catalog. It's 132 pages of amateur radio heaven, packed with competitively priced equipment. You'll find everything from multiband Yagis to whip antennas, the latest base transceivers to mobile radios, and every accessory under the sun. But the catalog only represents a small part of what DX Engineering offers. When you visit dxengineering.com, you'll find thousands of items from trusted names like ICOM, Yaesu, Kenwood, and Elenco. There's world-famous antennas from OptiBeam, E-Antennas, and M-Squared, Rhone and American Towers, plus many more. And shop a wide selection of innovative DX Engineering brand products. They're designed and manufactured by our team of amateur radio enthusiasts for hams just like you. Plus, you get the fastest shipping in the ham universe, and shipping is free on most orders over $99. Experience ham radio heaven at dxengineering.com. That's dxengineering.com.
Now, as long as we're talking about output circuitry and impedance matching, let me take a journey backward in time with you here just for a moment. Way, way back in the day, as they say, they had some serious matching circuits in the output. They were capable of dealing not just with slight mismatches, you know, minor deviations from 50 ohms impedance. Oh, no. They could deal with hundreds of ohms impedance. Also back in those days, they were mainly using open wire feed lines, not coaxial cable. And open wire feed lines have extremely low loss, especially at HF frequencies. So really, a high SWR wasn't a big deal. In World War II, they developed coaxial cable, or coaxial transmission lines. And that became extremely popular because it was very easy to work with. However, coaxial cable compared to open wire feed line has a serious disadvantage. It has a much greater percentage of loss when you put RF energy through it, especially at high frequencies. Oh yes, there is coaxial cable that is designed to minimize loss. They call it hard line. That's one type. But it's not particularly easy to work with, and it's very expensive. Regular coaxial cable that most amateur radio operators use tends to have an elevated amount of loss compared to open wire feed line. And SWR aggravates that loss, if you will. And yes, I know I'm oversimplifying a bit, but bear with me. In other words, the higher the SWR on the feed line, the greater the loss. If you amp the frequency up, if you go to higher and higher frequencies, then that loss becomes even worse. So, we need to care about SWR on coaxial feed lines because it directly impacts the amount of power we're able to deliver to the antenna. Imagine for a moment that you have 100 feet of good old RG58 connected to an antenna and you're operating on 40 meters. And let's change it in such a way that the impedance match to the cable is not good at all, and the SWR rises significantly. Let's make it go way up. Let's make it go up to something outrageous like 10 to 1. How about that? Now, bear with me for a moment. Assume for a moment that your radio foldback circuit won't immediately freak out and fold back, which of course in real life it actually would. But let's just say it doesn't. The loss in that feed line due to SWR is going to be very significant, quite high, to the point where you're going to lose a great deal of power between the radio and the antenna. I don't have my calculation tools with me at the moment to tell you the exact figure, but just trust me, it will be significant. If you increase your frequency, by the way, from 40 meters up to 10 meters, it gets even worse. Don't even think about 6 and 2 meters. So, you have a couple of choices. You can adjust the antenna. That'll reduce the SWR back down to 1 to 1, if you're lucky. Or you can put an antenna tuner in the feed line, right outside of the transmitter, and use the tuner as a big matching circuit. And that tuner will provide an impedance for the transceiver, and the transceiver will then dump all of its power into the tuner. However, and this is something a lot of hams don't know, that high SWR will still exist between the antenna tuner and the antenna. It will still be there. Even though you can dump 100 watts into the tuner, you're still going to be losing a large amount of power between the tuner and the antenna due to the high SWR. So, you're better off, really, in my opinion, trying to adjust the antenna to lower the SWR. The other things you can do, potentially, is move the tuner outside to the antenna. A lot of hams do that, and I'm one of them. I've got a remote antenna tuner out at my antenna. Therefore, the SWR between that remote antenna tuner and my transceiver is always 1 to 1 or something pretty close to it. Now, from the antenna tuner to the antenna, I'm feeding it with a relatively short length of open wire feed line, which has very low loss, and the tuner deals with tuning it on the various frequencies that I want to use. Yes, there is a high SWR on that feed line between that remote tuner and the feed point of the antenna, but because I'm using open wire feed line, the losses are very low and I really don't worry about it. If I was just operating that antenna on one band and didn't need to worry about switching bands, then I would go out there, I would take out the remote tuner, and I would just do whatever adjustments to the antenna were necessary to bring the SWR down to 1 to 1. And then I wouldn't need a tuner, my transmitter would be happy, and all would be right with the world. So that's the reason, really, that we tend to worry about SWR, why we're concerned with it. Maybe worry is too strong a word. We need to minimize the losses in our feed lines. We want to radiate power, and we want to send as much of that power as possible out over the airwaves. We don't want high SWR robbing us of that power, either through losses in the feed line or by causing our transceiver foldback circuit to reduce its power. If you'd like to know more about this topic, and believe me, there is much, much more to know. We call this podcast SWR Simplified for a reason. I would highly recommend a book by the late, great Walt Maxwell. If you can still find it out there, it's called Reflections. And it does an excellent job of explaining SWR and why you should or should not care very much about it, depending on your circumstances. Parts of the book are a bit difficult, but parts are quite easy. It's definitely a worthwhile read. I guess my final advice to listeners would be, don't get too wrapped up around the axle about SWR. Don't become obsessed with it. If you can achieve a low SWR, lower than, say, 1.5 to 1 at your transceiver by adjusting your antenna, you're probably good to go. Or if you can use an antenna tuner at your radio and you're not too concerned about the loss between your radio and the antenna, you're fine that way too. You can also use some very low loss cables, such as LMR-400 comes to mind. And even with elevated SWRs, your loss won't really be all that bad. One thing not to do, don't become so obsessed with SWR that you think you must have a flat match at all times. Really, it's not worth the headaches. If you've got 1.5 to 1, if your radio is dumping the maximum amount of power it can generate into your feed line, into your antenna system, don't go to great lengths to try to get that match to absolute 1 to 1. It really isn't worth it. See you next time on The Doctor Is In.
If you have a question for the doctor, email us at doctor@arrl.org. The Doctor Is In podcast is sponsored by DX Engineering at www.dxengineering.com. Background music provided by Purple Planet at www.purple-planet.com. This podcast is copyright ARRL. All rights are reserved. Until next time, I'm QST Managing Editor Becky Schoenfeld, W1BXY 73, and thanks for listening.